This is Michael Modest, and you are listening to Modest Joint. I have the will to fight. Do you? Check me out at www.mikemodest.com. For information on how to train with Michael Modest, hit me up at the Iron Fight Club at 916-752-3512. I assure you I will not pick up the phone. However, you can leave a message, and if you're a serious caller, I will get in touch with you. Now, I'm very excited about this show. I'd like to welcome, first of all, my new co-host, Chris Bunock, also known as the Frisco Flame. Welcome to the joint, Chris.
Thank you, Mike. A pleasure to be here.
Well, you know, Chris is going to help me write the show from now on and stay on top of it because I've been getting a lot of threats from Tommy Fierro and a lot of his New Jersey friends. You know, he's got all them creepy New Jersey folks out there, you know, writing me nasty letters and this and that, saying they're going to bust my knuckles and bust my nose and whatnot. You know, I don't need that kind of pressure. So I got somebody that's going to help me stay on top of the joint and make it a regular part of your week, regular part of your Monday at least. You know, so I'm really excited about that. We got a couple of really cool things. First of all, I want to talk about some of the phone calls we get for the Iron Dojo, for the Iron Fight Club. We get a lot of very good phone calls, guys that are very interested in this business and really, you know, guys and ladies. We also have a ladies class. And, you know, they want to get involved in this business, and they're very serious and hardworking. Then we get some other phone calls occasionally that are just kind of weird and silly. And, you know, that's what this phone call is. We've got a phone call. Chris, were you able to cue that up or not?
Yeah, Mike, hold on. Just give me one moment.
All right.
All right, got it. Oh, yes. Okay. Hello? Yes, I'm calling about the Wrestling School Academy. Yes, I want to train to be a professional wrestler, and I'm very, very excited about this. Listen, I'm a very tough guy. For years now, I've been doing figure skating, and a lot of figure skaters, they do the circles and the little eights and the ovals and the ice. Not me. I always would skate around with my shirt off, and my coach would be like, "Hey, why are you doing that? That's very dangerous." And I would always say, "Because, you stupid bastard, I'm very hardcore." And then I'd lay on the ice and let my clammy nipples soak up, and then they'd get stuck to the ice. And my coach would yell at me, "You stupid bastard, get up." And then I'd do a push-up off the ice, and my little clammy nipples would rip off and stay embedded in the ice, and blood would pour down my chest. So I'm very excited. I'm sure you can see I'm very, very tough. And I just hope you have one of those nice little fancy boy costumes for me to wear with the little tassels and sparklies and the epaulets and whatnot. Thank you very much. Give me a call back.
Wow. You see the kind of nonsense I got to deal with. So listen, if you sound like that cat, man, do not call the Iron Fight Club. I won't return those kind of phone calls. But if you are serious about training, dial again that number, 916-752-3512, and you can also find out about the Iron Fight Club at MikeModest.com coming up shortly. You know, a lot of stuff has been happening in professional wrestling. I haven't watched TNA, you know, admittedly, like I said last week, since the Tahitian Birdcage Red Mud Hut match. I just haven't been able to stomach it. But, you know, a lot of stuff has happened in professional wrestling. One of the things I'm very excited about, you know, is the fact that, you know, wait a minute, we're getting a weather report here. Chris has a weather report for us. It's an emergency. Okay, go ahead, give us that weather report. What's going on?
Hey, thank you, my mom. This is Chris Bunock here with your weather. Apparently, we're getting some very strange weather. We've had heavy snow in the Sierras and heavy downpours here in California.
Right, right.
However, a hurricane has run through Ohio and caused destruction in Kentucky.
No.
Yes, leading to 3 injuries and some bruised egos, as well as some possibly damaged careers.
Wow. Hey, what's, you know, okay, so here's the thing. Okay. Apparently, a hurricane rolled through Ohio, did some damage in Kentucky. Caught up in the hurricane was Chris Jericho and Matt Hardy. Hurricane Helms apparently took it upon himself to slap around a few people. One of them was a broad. Some chick in a hurricane felt like she needed a good slapping, which, you know, I'm not going to take it. The guy's a superhero, so if he says a chick needed a slap, more than likely she needed a good walloping, and he was probably just being nice just with the slap. Now, the thing I think is very interesting, too, about it was that after he slapped the chick, he took off, which Matt Hardy did as well. But apparently the mayor of the city sent out the hurricane warning alert and shot it up into the sky, and Hurricane saw it. And the mayor told him that apparently some people had been slapped at a local gas station. So Hurricane ran down there to help the cops. Apparently he was too drunk to realize that he was, in fact, the slapper. And the slappies all quickly identified him, and he was arrested along with Chris Jericho. Matt Hardy apparently escaped arrest because he left the scene and didn't come back. And that's kind of what you want to do. If you run away from something, you don't really want to, you know, make a big U-turn and go right back towards the trouble. But, you know, Hurricane's a little different. He's trying to save some people and whatnot. So I thought that was pretty cool, and I also thought it was very interesting. Now, what did WWE do that day, the very day this has happened? What has WWE done to kind of honor the Hurricane's damage, and, you know, they appreciate what he's done?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, through the wise use of his Herba powers,
right,
he was able to establish the January 28th, 2010 Superstar of the Day slot on WWE.com.
That's great. So he was the Superstar of the Day the same day that he was slapping bitches and hoes. That's what I'm talking about, man. That's a true superhero. That's one of the boys. Now, I hope that WWE doesn't try to blow this out of proportion and fine the guy ridiculous amounts of money and so on and so forth. It's not that big of a damn deal. I'm sure the slaps were not very punishing. And, you know, boys will be boys, especially when you get, you know, a couple of fifths of Jack Daniels up in you. So I thought that was a pretty good story. And I love Shane Helms. I think Shane Helms is a great guy. And honestly, from what I know about Shane Helms, if he slapped a bitch, she had it coming. Speaking of slapping bitches, let's talk about a bitch that does the slapping and not the getting slapped. Awesome Kong. Now, what happened with Awesome Kong and Bubba?
Okay, well, apparently you know how Kong has been helping raise money for this Haiti disaster, which is absolutely horrible.
A lot of people don't know this because of Kong's size. They don't realize that she is, in fact, Haitian. And when she was a little girl, she was very, very skinny and malnourished. And as she grew into a teenager, she moved to a very small island, and she ate all of the inhabitants. And thus, the weight problem started. So I understand she's got roots in Haiti, and so she's trying to help Haiti. So what's going on now?
So, okay, on that oh-so-wonderful device called Twitter, Bubba the Love Sponge decided to post his opinion on the situation of fuck Haiti.
Right. Okay.
Apparently, Kong didn't appreciate this too much, and they had a backstage brawl complete with a special guest referee.
Okay, now, I would have loved to have seen this. You know, Kong has a reputation for just socking motherfuckers in the eyes, so I would have loved to have seen this. And Bubba the Love Sponge, you know, he gets on the air and he uses a bunch of wrestling terms and everything that the boys don't even really use anymore. And, you know, he feels pretty good. He's Hogan's friend. Hogan smartens him up and, you know, gives him the 411 on professional wrestling. And I think it's just great that Kong just gave him a good, solid pop and knocked him out. Now, who was the guest referee?
Well, you know, he's seen Kong's size. He's seen, you know, the mask that Bubba himself obtains. Well, they needed a former champion in order to referee this match. In fact, they reached back into the archives of WCW and pulled out one of the most influential champions WCW has ever had. That's right, I'm talking about Mr. Vincent Russo.
Vince Russo, the guy that says the belt means nothing. Well, it doesn't when guys like Vince Russo hold it. Or who was the other guy, the actor?
David Arquette.
I'm surprised that Vince Russo and David Arquette haven't formed a tag team and someone hasn't completely beaten the fucking hell out of those guys. Oh, my God. I'll tell you what. If me and Donovan Morgan had 5 minutes with Vince Russo, I don't care if it cost me my fucking job. I'd break that motherfucker's neck. That's how much I hate Vince Russo, and I've never even met the guy. On a side note, however, you may not know this, Chris, but at great personal expense to myself, I did hire a team of IRS people and private eyes and so on and so forth, government agents. It was like a group of 15 people I hired. I placed some ads and everything and had them do some investigation because I wanted to know exactly how much money is leaking out of TNA right now. And apparently it's not so much a leak as it is a broken dam, just a typhoon of cash is jumping out of TNA right now. And in fact, through this research, I found that TNA is currently losing money at the same rate that the U.S. is losing money with the war in Iraq. So that's pretty amazing. I guess apparently the first night Hogan got there, he called up his buddies. They were all over at his house sleeping, you know, doing their thing at his house. And he called them up and said, "Hey, Beefcake, Neidhart, all you guys get down here. Bring the dump trucks." They backed up dump trucks to the loading docks and started loading up the money. And I guess apparently they've been running in 24-hour shifts. Nobody knows exactly where the money's going. However, Ramon's not, you know, Razor Ramon hasn't been without a shot of Jack Daniels in his hand since joining the company. I think that's pretty amazing. Dixie Carter, wow, what a genius she must be. I'm not going to say any more than that. I'm just going to say she must be a genius. Maybe I'll work for the gal one of these days. So what do you think, Chris? Is it time for a top 10, man?
Yes, I believe it's time for a top 10. You know what, Mike? Let's go international with this one, because I've been hearing a lot of things lately. I've been hearing rumors of excellent tours getting set up. But, let's go with some of your experiences, shall we?
All right, so this week, the top 10, this is the top 10 myths about Japan. If you aren't familiar with me, I wrestled in Japan for quite a few years for Pro Wrestling Noah, one of the top companies over there, so I know Japan. So these are the top 10 myths. Some of them have to do with wrestling, and some of them are just about Japanese people in general. And, I think you're really going to enjoy this segment. So here we go with no further ado, the top 10 myths about Japan. Number 10, Japanese wrestlers work harder than the wrestlers in the U.S. This is false, folks. The thing is, when we watch Japanese wrestling, we are seeing the very, very best of what they have. We are not seeing their house shows. We are not seeing the dark matches. We are not seeing the, the little country town matches that we have over there. Japanese wrestlers are no different than the U.S. wrestlers. For a big show, they pour it on. They work really hard. If you happen to catch them down at Tony's local bar and grill, you're not going to see the same kind of match that you would see at the Tokyo Dome. It's common sense, folks. They don't work harder than Triple H or any of the boys in the WWE or TNA. Number 9 myth about Japan is that Japanese people eat nothing but raw fish. This is false. Japanese people eat raw anything. Anything that's raw, they will eat it, man. They will dip some chicken, raw chicken, in some wasabi and swallow it like it's cotton candy, man. They will eat anything that's raw. Number 8 myth about the Japanese people. They are all Japanese. Well, how do you fucking know? But just because they got slanted eyes, you think they're Japanese? Let me tell you something. You can't tell those people apart. You know, there's Koreans, there's Asians, there's Japanese, there's they're mixed, there's Mongolians, there's all kinds of people over there. So, you know, not all Japanese people, not all Japanese wrestlers are, in fact, Japanese. Number 7, myth about Japan. Japanese women moan like wounded badgers when they're having intercourse. This is false. They moan a lot more like wounded platypuses. And if you've ever heard a wounded platypus moan, it sounds a little like this. It's just a thing in their culture. The Japanese women want you to believe that you're so well endowed that you're literally splitting their vagina, and that they cannot take the pain. It's their way of putting the man over.
Unless you're Mike Modest, then you actually are splitting their vagina.
Well, yeah, well, you know, I don't like to brag. I like to try to, you know, stay modest with that kind of shit. But, you know, thanks for the push, man. Hey, I appreciate it.
Not a problem, but you're comparing sushi rolls to Italian sausage.
Right, right. Okay, number 6. Myth about Japan. Japanese people come just like people in the U.S., This is false. In Japan, they don't come, they go. Now, I'm serious about that. When a Japanese woman or a Japanese man is coming, they yell, "I'm going, I'm going." So, just a little trivia. Next time you're playing Trivial Pursuit, if that question comes up, you know who to thank. Send me a check immediately in the mail.
If that question comes up in Trivial Pursuit, I want to know where you bought Trivial Pursuit.
Right. Number 5, myth about Japan. Michael Modest knows how to say sakahachi ikuru desu ka, which means blowjob, because he was always buying blowjobs. This is false. It's because all the Japanese women were asking how much money they had to pay to suck on my dick. Number 4, myth about Japan. They hit harder than guys in the U.S. Again, this is false. A lot of guys out there on the indie circuit, they see Misawa throwing them forearms and the guys, you know, throwing these kicks and stuff in Japan, and they just assume they're walloping each other. It's just because the Japanese wrestlers are that freaking good that when they hit you with a forearm, you believe they're knocking someone out. Misawa never knocked me out with one of his forearms. He knew how to place them well to where they did not rattle my head. Oh, don't get me wrong. They were stiff. They were in there. You definitely knew you were being hit by the boss. But at the same time, guys in the U.S., they just don't know how to throw their forearms properly. And so they end up just whacking each other and giving each other brain hemorrhages. Number 3 myth about Japan is that the Yakuza runs Japanese wrestling. This is false. And why, Chris?
Well, that's because the Yakuza runs Japan.
That's right. The Yakuza runs the entire freaking nation. They don't just run professional wrestling. They own that country, man, and they run it very, very well. Number 2 myth about Japan. Japanese women's vaginas smell just like sushi. Completely false. They actually smell a lot like chicken-flavored top ramen.
Oh, great analogy, Mike.
I mean,
many indie wrestlers in this country are quite familiar with that smell.
Yeah. Go down, you pick up a thing of top ramen, you know, the chicken ramen. That's exactly what it smells like. You know, just hold your face over the bowl, take a deep whiff. That's basically it.
Although it might be more satisfying to eat it.
Yeah, you know, I prefer to smell it, but whatever. Number 1 myth about Japan and Japanese wrestlers is that Japanese men all have small penises. Yeah, I hate stereotypes like this, and I hate myths like this. You know, Japanese men, this is completely false. Japanese men do not have small penises. They have minuscule penises. Let's get our descriptives, our adjectives right, folks. Minuscule penises is what Japanese men possess, okay? So, you know, to say that they are small is an insult to people with small penises.
Thank you for clearing that up.
With that being said, man, you have listened to Kamadas joint. Congratulations for listening to me jabber. And I'd like to thank Chris again for being my new co-host. Every week you will get a chance to hear Chris Bunak, the Frisco Flame, right here with Mike Modest on the joint.
And in the meantime, be sure to stop by myspace.com/prowrestlerfrisco to see the latest on Frisco Chris Bunak's appearances and just whatever the fuck's on my mind.
Yeah, you got to see this guy. He wears a skirt and shit. It's silly. Anyways, with all that being said, man, thank you very much for listening. Wrestling is hardcore, and so is Michael Modest and the Frisco Flame on the joint, baby. Peace out.